Okay, we're starting at the bottom of Nunaf Amidbed, by the two dots. Gemara brings a brisa here. Tan Rabbanan, ein mekablin pikdonot lo min hanashim, lo min havadim, ve lo min hatinokot. So it's a basic premise that one should not accept to watch on behalf of these individuals items that they give you. Why? Because they're not likely to have independent ownership. Right, a woman because of her husband, right, an eved because of his rav, his adon, because of his master, and a child because of their parent. I mean that they're unlikely to have it, and therefore there's a possibility that the item was stolen or doesn't really belong to them, and then they're hiding it away with you, or they're placing it with you to watch in the interim. And we don't want you to be mesayeya lovrei avera. We don't want you to help out those individuals. So therefore, we say, if you ask us l'chadchila what to do, don't accept items to pick the note from them. Now, kabel menisha, what happens if you did accept it already from the woman? Then yakzir lisha, you return it to the woman herself. Meaning that to the extent that her husband has no claim here, or even if she says, tain leploni, give it to some other individual, you listen to her because there's a migo for her. Migo is that she could have taken it herself and then handed it to another party. So therefore, if she tells you to give it to the other party, you also can act on her behalf because of that. And then that about, if he went ahead and he grabbed it away, right, she can't say, take it out of his hand and say, she'll ploni him, and say that it belongs to someone else. Meaning that the migo that she has, or her ability to give it to a third party, is because she can take it herself, and then give it to another party. So then all of a sudden, if her husband enters the fray and grabs the object away, she says, no, it belongs to someone else. It's not mine. Why are you taking it? There she is, no longer has a migo anymore. Why? Because she doesn't have it either. Since she doesn't have it, right, she can't demand of her husband to give it to anyone else. Now that's qualified, but we ended the Gemara yesterday. It has to do with the ma'ot, right? Meaning that ma'ot tmunot or enon tmunot. Meaning that if there's open cash or money that she has available, right, then we say that her husband doesn't have a right to take it away or be tokefit, and he has to give it back. Whereas if there is manut munot, then we say that maybe he was trying to get the money from her that she had hidden away. So that kabel menisha yachzir lisha, v'imeta yachzir lebala. If she passes away, return it to her husband. Why mimanam shach? Because either was her husband's, meaning that she stole it from her husband, or her husband's yoresher, meaning that even if it was rightfully hers, if she predeceases her husband is yoresher. Right, kabel min eved, if he actually took a pikadon, right, against the instructions or the advice of the chachamim from an eved, yachzir the eved, return it to the eved. Vim meit, again, if he passes away, yachzir the rabo, give it back to his master. Why is that? Because, again, if he stole it from his adon, it belongs to his adon. If he passes away, then it belongs to his adon as well, because kol mashakon eved kan rabo, and therefore it would belong to his adon in this case. Kabelman as a katan, if you accepted it from a katan, yaselo skula. So there, even once you've accepted it to him, you may not return it to the katan. Because if you return it to the katan, the katan's not able to watch over his possessions, not take care of his possessions. And therefore, we do not assume, right, that you should, we don't assume that you should give it back to him, or you should allow him to take it back. Because if he does take it back, he's not going to treat it properly. So we demand of you to get a skula, which again we saw together in the Gemara in Baba Kama. We'll get to it again. The Gemara here is going to discuss it. It's right after Shaul's grandson was born. We saw the union of skula and Baba Kama. Mate, if he passes away the katan, yachzir li yorshav. Then it goes to the inheritors of the katan. For obvious reasons that, meaning the katan either took it from his, right, from his family, right, or it is his, rightfully his, and then it belongs to the yorshim. So our underlying assumption here is that once you've gotten it, we say, okay, listen, the katan got it. Maybe he found the mitziah. He found something, so it is his. But then we're not going to allow you to give it back to him because we feel like that's like being mafkirit or sending leibut. It's not, we want you to protect the item for him. Now, v'kulam shamru b'shat mitatan, any of them that are on their deathbed, and they say, shaploni hein, that it belongs to this individual, yaseki perushan. We do as if, as whatever they say, we do. Why do we do whatever they say? Because again, they have amigo. They could have done it themselves. They could demand the object back and then hand it to that individual. So if they're giving instructions to give it to this individual, we're going to listen to them. Where in lav, if not, yaseh perush the perusham. If not, then you interpret what should be. Now the three explanations about what you say lav yaseh perushan is, the Rabbeinu Gershom, for instance, brings down that what is it yaseh perushan. If you want to say in lav yaseh perush the perushan, means that you give it back to the individual that we said before. I mean that if you believe what they're saying, then we say give it to the individual, the third party that they said. On the other hand, if you don't believe what they're saying, then for the woman you give it back to the Baal, for the Eved you give it back to the Adon, and for the Katan you give it to his Yorshim. That's the way the Rabbeinu Gershom explains it. Now the Rashbam asks an obvious question to that, which is, then basically you've just said exactly what it said earlier in the Brisa. The Brisa already said that if you've accepted it from them and they die, who do you give it to? So it already has a list of who you give it to. So all of a sudden now, even Lavi Asegula Perish the Perisham, that you give it to the same individuals, the Brisa is just repeating what it said earlier. So that doesn't make any sense. Is it, right? So you have the same outcomes. Right? The Rashbam says that can't be the answer. There are other Girsot, which says, Ve'ikad de Amre. Right? That instead, over here, when it says, Yaseh Perushan, Ve'ikad de Amre, right? Yaseh Perush the Perushan. Right? There are others that say, don't listen to what they say, but rather you figure out what the right outcome is. You think, make your best judgment about where you think this object came from. So that's the other possibility. Over there, the problem with that is, we're going to see in a second, the Gemara has a position from Rav. And then Rav, if you say that's the case, then Rav holds like nobody. Because Rav is going to give two possibilities here in the case. And two possibilities only exist if you don't have the Ikadamri. And the Ikadamri says it's either or, not both. Right, so the Brisa. So Rashbam gives the explanation, right, which seems to be the most logical of the explanations here, it depends on whether you believe them or not. If you believe them, then Yasek Perushan, you do what they instructed. Whereas, if you don't believe them, Yasip Perush the Perusham, you try to figure out, think about what makes sense based on what they're telling you, where they would have gotten it from, who would have belonged to figure out what the, who it really belongs to, why? Because, Mitoch Busha Enum Sim Lomar. They're embarrassed to say who it really does belong to, who the real owners are. So if they don't give instructions, or, you know, there's some questions about the instructions, you should try to figure out what the right answer is in that instance. So that's the way the Rashbam explains it, and we're going to see that similar to the Psak Halacha that comes out here. Debitu de Rabba Bar Chana, right, the wife of Rabba Bar Chana, Kika Shachva Amra, when she was on her deathbed, she was about to pass away, she said, Hane Kipe, these, sound clear here, Kipe are either earrings, nose rings, or bracelets, whatever they are here, these some type of jewelry, De Marta Ubnei Brato, belong to Marta. Marta is a one of the Chachamim, right, he was the brother of Rav Chia. So they belong to Marta, Ubnei Brato, and his grandchildren. So they're not mine. You have to give them back. So now, Ata the Kamei de Rav. So Rav Bar Chana, after getting this instruction from his wife, goes before Rav and says, Amalei. So what does Rav tell him to do with the instructions of his wife? Imehem en lecha, aseh keperusha. Right? If you believe her, if you think she's right, meaning that you think that it really does belong to Marta and her grandchildren, then act on her instructions. She gave you instructions. Go ahead. V'ilav, aseh perush l'perusha. If not, right, figure out what the right outcome is. And in this case, the right outcome would be that you keep it, meaning that it doesn't really belong to them. It belongs to you. And his wife had taken his own property or his own stuff. So the answer of Rav, you see, eliminates that one possibility of Ika Damri. Because Rav is offering in the Brisa the two possibilities. Imehemna, v'ilo mehemna. But if the way Brisa reads with Nika Damre, it's either or. You can't have both possibilities. Whereas Rav is giving him both possibilities over here. V'ika Damre, now here comes Ika Damre. Hachi Amarlei, this is what Rav said to him. I amida lecha, aseh keperusha. Now here there are two explanations what amida. Amida means wealthy, rich, right? So now you say, I amida lecha, if you say that you think, there's one possibility, if you think that Marta and Bnei Barta are wealthy enough that these could have belonged to them, right, then do what she says, to follow her instructions. If you don't think they could have afforded such items, then I say Perusha, Perusha, and you keep them for yourself. That's one possibility. The other possibility is Imar Elecha Ishtecha, meaning that if you think your wife is wealthy, but what do you mean wealthy here? It means that she has friends or people who are fond of her that would give her a gift to your exclusion. That they would give her property to own, but you have no rights to. So if you assess that your wife has that, you know, standing, then do what she says, because they're hers. If not, then they came from you, and you don't have to follow her instructions.
Let's say, did you have any objects that were given for safekeeping to my wife?
Right. Obviously, if that was the case, then they could check in the case. I'm assuming that there's some reason that they don't know about it. It's possible they don't remember, they don't know about it. If she might have gotten it from Marta, but she's saying it belongs to his grandchildren now because he's not around anymore. I'm assuming that there's some factor that makes it impossible for him to have the information. So But we said before that for the katan, you don't return it to him when he gives you an object as a pikadon. What do? You make a skula. So what is a skula? It's my skula. Rav Chisda Maris, we saw this before in the Gemara in Baba Kamo, which is Sefer Torah. One possibility is, right, to make him a Sefer Torah. Other possibility, Rav Amar Dikla, Da'achomine Tamre. Or you plant for him palm trees, or you buy for him palm trees. So again, both of these items are a davar that the perot are ne'achal, but the karen is kayam. Again, so you can learn.
This is by one of the this is supposed to do with the.
Right. In the Gemara and Baba Kam, exactly. How to take care of a katan. So you have the perot, like a dekel. The perot, you can eat the tamarim. And the dekel will still be around and be productive after that point in time. So it has value. Again, I think dekel, because, and we discussed the Gemara and Baba Kam, because dekel takes a very little input or effort to maintain it. So therefore, the assumption is that if you buy him a dekel, it won't go bad. I mean, as opposed to a vineyard or something else, which takes a lot of ashka. Right, lasts for very many years. And the things that, right, have duration, right, where the karen will be kayam for a long time, where they take very little input and effort to maintain them, and they're usable, and they have usefulness, right, in the current situation. So those two are the Sefer Torah and the Dekel. Right now, the Gemara goes back. I'm sorry?
Depends on how much money it is.
All right. Right, so they give you two options over here. V'lo le'av b'nechzei ben, v'lo ben b'nechzei av. So this is continuing the Mishnah. Is continuing the Mishnah over here, that the father and the son do not have rights to impose a chazakah on each other. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, vafilu chilku, that this even applies if they divide their property up, or they've divided up, they've dissolved, they had some sort of partnership, they've dissolved the partnership, and the son is no longer somech al shulchan aviv. So even though they dissolved their partnership, and the son no longer eats by his father, depends on his father for his mazonot, nevertheless, we say that they cannot establish a chazaka. Why? Because they're not makpid achad al chaveiro. They're not makpid. A father and a son are not makpid on each other. If you're not makpid, then the whole idea of a chazaka is meaningless. Because the fact that you're on the property is not an indication of ownership by his lack of objection, because his lack of objection is because he doesn't really care that you're on his property because you're his son, or you're his father. So that's why he's not objecting. He's not objecting because he's acquiescing to your ownership. It's because of your relationship that he is acquiescing. On the other hand, Rav Amar Chilkulo. Rabbi says, no, once you have a relationship that has been divided, where they have separated property ownership, and, right, the ben is not samech al shulchan aviv, at that point in time, they can establish a chazaka. So, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah b'difti, avad rapapi uvda. So, rapapi had the paskan halacha, chilku lo, kirava. He did the halacha, even though they had once they had divided it up, he paskan like rava, which is that you can establish, right, to... To Rabba. Right, Rav Yosef was a peer with Rabba, right? So they have, meaning the previous Rabba's, right, yes. Position, right? Because Rav Yosef and Rabba were peers. Right, so the, either Rabba or Rava, but he paskin liked that position, that Chilko, once they've divided the property, that you can't establish a chazakah. So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Ishtarli, Rav Chia Mechurmiz, Ardashid, so I have a Masorah, right, that the din is Chilku Lo, right, that the once you've divided up the property, right, that Lo, that you don't have to, you can establish a Chazakah one on the other. Right, so that is the Halacha. The Halacha is that once they've divided up, you can establish a Chazakah one on the other. Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a brace that supports that position. Ben Shchalak, a son who's divided, meaning his divided property with his father, is no longer in a partnership with them. Vishtoshnit Kasha, wife who's been divorced. Harian Kashar Kol Adam. They take on the properties of a independent or a third party, and a third party can establish a chazakah, right, with either side. All right. Next case here. Itmar. So you have one of the brothers, I mean, let's say their father passed away, and you have one of the brothers who is acting on behalf of the other brothers here, and he's transacting with the estate. So now, you have one of these brothers, but there are now contracts that are written solely in his name. So these are shtarot, or shtari halva'a, onot, according to the Rashbam, are shtari mechirot, right, are buying and selling, right, contracts of buying and selling, purchasing contracts, right, as the other, Whereas the Rabbeinu Gershom says that onot are kochot, kagon harsha'ot, which are some sort of power of attorneys or based in enforced documentation. So either some of these, whatever these contracts are, they're now solely in this brother's name. So then, what does he do? Vamar shelihem. The brother says, you know what? These contracts or this property, whatever I've transacted, is mine. It's personally mine. You're right. I'm working for the estate, but I also have my own personal business. And these contracts belong to my personal business. And how does he have independent ownership? How could he have independent ownership from his brothers? Because, right, they inherited the property from their father. So they all joint owners of the father's property. How did he get it? He got it from his mother. They had different mothers. And I inherited it from my grandfather. My grandfather threw my mother to me. And that's how I have independent property. So I'm a Rav, Allah Lavi Raya. Rav says the burden of proof rests on with who? With the brother. Whereas Shmuel Amar, Alachim Lavi Raya. Shmuel says no. The burden of proof lies with the, right, with the brothers. The brothers have to prove that he is not acting on his own behalf. Because he is right. He's acting the name, his name's on the property.
He's Mufsak on the Karka now.
Right. So he's holding it, or he has the contracts and his name, they're written specifically in his name, not in the name of the estate. So that's why. So Amar Shmuel, Modu Liabo, Rav agrees to my position, Shemait Alachim Lavi Raya. If he passes away, then the brothers have to bring a Raya. So that the din would change. So based on this, the din would change, which is that if he's alive, then the demand is on the brother himself to bring the Raya. Whereas if he passes away, it now shifts, the burden of proof shifts to the brothers to bring the proof over here. And why is that? Because, Tosfos explains it, Tosfos explains over here, it's not because of Taninan, right, the Yatme, right, that we don't tell in on behalf of the Yatme, that if their father was alive, then he would have to bring a Raya, so too you have to bring a Raya. No, so Tosfos explains here, I'll read you just a couple lines in the Tosfos. It's the bottom of the last Tosfos there, it's towards where it says, Nusach Acher Rava Baravuna. All right. Elanira, the Hocha Dafka who dekama Rav Alachim Lavi Raya imate mishum de onot ushtarot yotzim hashmo the muchcha milsa de shalohin. That there it's muchcha milsa that they're his. But El b'chayav in his lifetime who dekama Rav Alav Lavi Raya to losam chine and amay diyotzim hashmo demita the naflum beit avi imo hayolo leidim b'davar. Find it if you're alive. If the brother's alive, we say to him, listen, if you really inherited property like this, we're the Edim that you inherited the property. Now, the overwhelming evidence is that they are his. Why? Because they're in his name. So if they're in his name, he does have good evidence that they're his. But because we can verify it, like Joel, you were asking just before, if we can verify it, let's verify it. Sam, where are the Edim that you inherited this property? Whereas, Avol Bibino, when his son comes and his children come all of a sudden and say, where we can't say to them, listen, we're the Edim that your father inherited the property. They won't know about that. They don't have that ability. So now what are we left with? We're left simply with the contracts that are written in his name. The contracts are written in his name. Let's go with that, right? Go with that principle. And therefore, the brothers will have to bring the property. All right, now, the Gemara asks, Matkifla Papa. So now, if that, Papa Papa, Klum Tainin Lahuli Atme Midilo Tainin Lahuli Avon. Right, so now, When is there a place, or where is there a situation where we shift the burden of proof for the Yatomim where the same would not be true of their father? Their father was alive. What happens? He's got to bring a Raya. Now all of a sudden, they're Yatomim, and the burden of proof shifts to the brothers. So now basically what we're doing was we're giving the Yatomim a better Ta'ana than their father could have ever made. So why do they get an advantage? Why do they all of a sudden they get an advantage? They're inheriting from their father. They're getting the rights of their father. Now all of a sudden we're towing on their behalf something better than their father would have ever gotten. So do what's up? So the Rashbam asks that question. What about Chazaka? Right, just like Shaul just said, by Chazaka, all they have to do is prove that their father was there for one day, and that's it. And they don't have to prove anything else. So there we do. We're towing on their behalf. Right, for a chazaka, that they should be able to take the property, even though their father in that instance couldn't take the property, because he only has one day, it would do nothing for his father. But for them, with the 3 years, all of a sudden we're towing on their behalf, that their father was there for one day, that when they have it now for 3 years, it's good. So why is that, sir, the Rashbam brings? The Rashbam says it's different. By chazaka, the father can make the same claim. They're not making a claim that their father can't make, which is, right over there, the father can also make the same claim that I purchased it from the individual. And that's the only claim they're making. They're making it that I purchased it from X. That he, my father, purchased it from X. That is the same claim their father could make, that he purchased it from X. Now, What do you need? Once he makes that claim, he needs chazaka. He needs 3 years of chazaka. So the taina that they're making, that their father purchased it from X, is the same type of taina that's available to their father. That's not something that their father couldn't make. It's the same claim that their father could have made. Now, how it functions afterwards, which is that once that claim happens, who can establish the chazaka, right? For the father, he would have to have his own 3 years. For the tomim, they have their 3 years. But the taina is the same taina, that the father purchased it from X, and that taina doesn't change. And therefore, that's what the Rashi says, it's not tip. They do have the same taina. It's just now they need each one of them needs a chazaka. After you have a taina, you need a chazaka along with the taina. Their chazakas are established differently. But still, the taina works the same. Over here, that's not the case. Over here, we are towing on behalf of the Yitomim that the brothers now have to bring a raya, which their father could never have done. Their father could have said nothing that would force the brothers to have to bring a raya over him. So how could it be that's the difference? Va'arava, right? We have the case by Rova, apik zuga de sarvela v'safra de agarata miyatme below rayo. Rova was willing to take, someone came along with a claim that these belong to them, right, a zuga de sarvela, which is either the scissors or the shearing scissors of those that comb begadim, right, the cleaners or the combers of begadim, according to the Rashbam, right, the Rabbeinu Gershom describes it as a maktorin kaful, some sort of, I guess, double blade, I'm not exactly sure what that is, but the these items that the Yitomim have, he took away them below Raya without any proof, but very masum lashil askir. And items that are normally lent out or rented out. Kedishalach, Rav Huna bar Avin, like we had the position of Rav Huna bar Avin, very masum lashil askir, v'amar l'kuchim v'yadiyan u'neman. That when it comes to items that are normally lent out or normally borrowed by neighbors, in that case, we say that even if you make a claim l'kuchim him yadi, you don't have a taina. Unless you have a contract, unless you have some evidence of the l'kicha, idim of the l'kicha, the fact that you're muhzak in the davar is not an indication of ownership. So to over here. So for the yitomim, the fact that it was in their possession is not an automatic indication of ownership. And Rava was willing to remove these items from the yitomim. Why? Because their father would have no claim over here. Just like their father, had the item been in their father's possession, they would have no claim and they could take it back from the father. So too, he took it away from the yitomim in that instance. We don't say that the yitomim automatically get ownership or that they can have a better claim than their father. Just because they're yitomim, all of a sudden now you can't take it back from them. No, Rava took the items, right away from these, them without the balim, the owners have edim, that these items belong to them, right? And that's it. If by the father, if he brought edim, because in edim la'ashiv la'askir, they would take it away from the father. So too over here, he brings edim, they could take it away from the yitomim. Yitomim have no more rights than the father. So why all of a sudden over here, do the yitomim have more rights than the father?
They don't know that he didn't
purchase.
No, they also claim, they claim it belongs to them.
Right. They're coming with a full claim. It's ours, right. But now the problem is that the contracts are in his name. So then who has to bring, who the burden proof is, right? But they're making a full claim.
The best
rule
would be a shtar. Right. So the shtar exists. What else can you demand from the domain?
All right, but here, the problem here is that there's circumstantial evidence that contradicts the fact that the shtar exists. How did his brother all of a sudden get ownership independent of his brother's? How did that happen? Now the Gemara is going to qualify this a little bit. We're going to see in a second. It's going to qualify and narrow the case down, and that might help understand, you know, when they can make the claim or not. Now Amar Rav Chisda, Lo Shanu El Adin Chalukim Beisatan. That we only learn this from when they do not divide up their food, meaning that they all share commonly. I don't know if it's Beisatan definitely, but they have joint ownership over everything. There's nothing in the world, as the Rashi says, that they do not have joint ownership over. So in that case, we say the burden of proof is on the brother, which is exactly what you guys are asking. You guys are asking, wait a minute, what else could you ask for here? The problem is that, how did this brother get any independent ownership? And that's the major problem over here. If they always had joint ownership over everything, how did all of a sudden the shtarot show up in his name? So there is circumstantial evidence that there's something wrong in this case. Whereas, Abaal Cholukim B'Isetan, if they divide up, something of their property is already divided up, meaning that he has some sort of independent ownership. In that instance, we say, what? No, imor misato kimetz, that he ate less, meaning that he was able to, you know, he's a little stingy, and he was able to keep his own money, and through his own money, he made all these deals and contracts. Meaning that if we don't, and that, I think this hopefully answers the questions that, what you're asking over here, which is, what's the story here that we're demanding so much evidence from the brother? The answer is because there's some sort of question as how did this brother got any property into his possession? So again, if we can come up with a way to explain how he got property in his possession, let me say no problem, then the burden of proof shifts back to the brothers. But on the other hand, if they've always been jointly owners and they're always together, then in that instance, the burden of proof is on this brother to show how he got some independent ownership over here. And the same thing will be with his yatomim, with his children, because there's just no way, or we can't explain how he got this independent ownership. In that case, we're going to demand of him to do it. Now next, Raya Bimai. This is what you're asking. What's the proof? What proof does he have to bring that he has independent ownership? How do you bring a Raya? So now, Rabba Amar, Raya Beidim, he brings Eidim, that he inherited property or that he was kimates, whatever he did to get independent ownership. And number two is, Rav Sheshet Amar, Raya B'Kiyum Ashtar. Right, the Raya is with the Kiyum Ashtar. Right, that you have to be Mekayim. If the Shtar already was validated in Beis Din, then he doesn't have to do any more. And then, this answers your question again, right, David? You said, he has a Shtar, what else could you ask from him? Well, if it's a Shtar that's validated in Beis Din, you're right, what else could you ask from him? If Beis Din validated, it means they looked into the issue, and they thought that it was really his property. If it's already validated, then we say, you know what, if there's a Kiyum Shtar from Beis Din, we're not going to make him do anything more. Whereas if it's just a regular Shtar that he pulls out, then we worry about the fact that he was acting on behalf of the brothers, but then put it in his name. But once Beis Din's looked into the matter, we don't ask for any more. So these are two ways to look at the Raya. Now, what the question here is, how do we paskin? The last Gemara ended, which I didn't say before, but ended with the word kasha. There's a problem. Shmuel said, Rav holds like me. Rav holds like me when it comes to the Yitomim. The Gemara asked the question from a Papa and from Rava. And the Gemara said, wait, if that's the case, kasha. It's no good. Right? Then the problem, Shmuel's statement in Rav is not really good. We have a principle in general, Rav is Shmuel. When it comes to Rav and Shmuel, what's the din? By Mamononos, do it like Shmuel. By Yisurei, we go like Rav. Here we're talking about Dine Mamononos, and what? We should paskin like Shmuel. Right? So we should paskin like Shmuel over here. The problem is, this is what the Rashman points out. We're going to see in a second, the Rashman points out that the overwhelming evidence of the Gemara is in favor of Rav over here. So what do we do? So there were Gelnim, there were people that say that the Halacha is like Shmuel. Shmuel's been Dine Mamononos. On the other hand, the Rashbam and many other Rishonim say, no, the Halacha is like Rav over here. Why? So if you look at this, very important Rashbam, we'll read it inside together. The word Kasha, you see it's the second one on Amud Bet, Nun Bet Amud Bet, right at the top, the second Rashi, down Kasha. So he says, Lidan Kasha, Mayamar Shmuel Modu Liaba. We don't know why Shmuel said Rav agrees to me in this position. Why should there be a difference between the Yitomim and the father? We never see such a position. So listen to this. Upasak Rabbeinu Chananel, the Chilukasak to Shmuel. Rabbeinu Chananel says, "Looks like Shmuel." The Heicha Demit Alachin Lavi Raya. Why? Pcherish Perish Naktina Mirabu Taizal. And that's the Mesorah I got from my Rebbeim. That's what the Rashbam says. The Mesorah that I have is that the Halacha is like Shmuel. So now, what is Pchem Perish Naktina Mirabu Taizal? Listen to this. Kol Heicha Damar Gemara Tiyufta Deploni Tiyufta. If this is an interesting Mesorah that he has from his Rebbeim, that what? That whenever the Gemara ends with Tiyufta about someone, then it is Tiyufta Alav Legamrei. That the Gemara is Batlu Divrei Mishi Tiyufta Alav Legamrei. That means that the Gemara now believes that this is null and void, that this person's position is gone. Well, Heicha D'Alta B'Kasha. The Gemara ends with the Kasha Kiach D'Shmuel, like over here, Lo Batlu Divarav. That's not an indication of no good, but rather Damrin Alav Breira Lahen D'Batlu Shmuel Zul Legamrei Lo Ishtakach Piruka B'Hayishato. So he says, no, what is that indicative of? It's not indicative of the fact that this is an unexplainable position or it's an unanswerable position. It's just, we can't come up with the answer. It's a good question, but we don't have the answer right now. The Talia V'Kayima. So we'll wait. Someone will come up with the answer. And listen to what the Rashi says. He says, I don't understand that difference whatsoever between Kasha and Tiyufta. Why? V'lo shana Tiyufta, v'lo shana Kasha, d'kaya milsu d'amorai. Right, that when it's going on in words of Amorai, chadahi, it's all one. V'lavi ikar. Once Amorai reaches kasho tiyufto, it's no good anymore. That position has been rejected. But what's the difference? Why does Amorai use tiyufto sometimes and kasho in other places? Elagavet tiyufto mi mishno mi braisa. When the problem is from a braisa or a mishnah on the member of the Amorai, then the Amorai uses a tiyufto. Shaykh Amorai tiyufto. Umi pirchado Amorai. If the problem for this Amorai is a statement of another Amorai, like over here, where Rav and Rav Papa are a problem for the statement of Shmuel, then what do we say? Shaykh Amorai kasho. Then you say kasho on the Vahad Shmuel nirbeinai dolo samchina le kolika. Position of Shmuel, we do not hold like whatsoever. Pchein Perish Rach, Katav, Meresh Gaon, and the Rach himself brought that from Meresh Gaon, right, that is the case, that the Halacha is not like Shmuel. Kizeh Shema Shmuel, Modu Liaba, Shemet Alachim Lavi Raya, in Halacha Kamotu. That's the Halacha is not like him in that instance. So over here, the Rashbam paskins, first of all, the Halacha is like Rav. Not only is that the halacha like Rav, but even in the case where Shmuel said Rav agrees to me, the halacha is still like Rav. Because the Shmuel was left with the kasha, and according to Rashi, kasha means that his position has been rejected, that we no longer accept that position whatsoever. So that's now, and Rav, why is the halacha like Rav? Because we have a number of people who hold like Rav. First of all, you have Rav Papa and Rava, over here, or Rava, depending, right, on the situation, that hold like Rav, number one. Why? Because the question of Yitomim, over here, that you're allowed to take items away from Yitomim, number one. Number two is the whole Gemara over here. The Gemara over here that says, Itmar Amar Rav Chisda Lo Shanu El Dein Chol Kim Bisatan, Aval Aluchim Bisatan, Imor Misatokim Eitz, that is only according to, that's only in the words of Rav. Inside of Shmuel, it doesn't matter. According to Shmuel, the burden of proof is always on the brothers. So they say, Lo Shanu, is only in the position of Rav. So that's number two, is Rav Chisda holds like Rav. Then the next position over here, Raya V'mai, right? Who has to bring proof? Who's the burden of proof on? Again, burden of proof, right? Or what is the Raya that he has to bring over here? That's only true according to Rav's position. I mean, according to Rav's position, right, you have a one brother who has the Shtar wrote in his name, Raya V'mai. So it's either Edim, or with what? Or with Shtar that has a henpeck, or has a, been validated in basement. This is all according to the position of Rav. According to Shmuel, these questions aren't, right, relevant anymore. Because if they, according to Shmuel, the burden of proof is on the brothers. What do you mean, Edim and Shtar? Of course, Edim and Shtar are the way that you solve any problem. In that, why is there even a question, Raya B'mai? Of course, the brothers can bring a proof that it's owned by their father. Whatever, that's not a question. The only question is, when the brother has a Shtar in his name, then you have a question of what does he bring proof with? Once he has a Shtar in his name, what else could he do? And that's why the question according to Rav. So the Rashi says, look, you have Rav Chisda, right? You have Rabba and Rav Sheshes. Right, and you have the questions of Rav Papa, all supporting the position of Rav. So he says, despite the fact that in general Dinei B'monos is like Shmuel, it's clear here that the Gemara is overwhelming evidence is in favor of Rav over here, and therefore the Loch will be like Rav. Alright. Amalei Rav the Rav Nachman. Ha Rav, v'ha Shmuel. So we have Rav and Shmuel, I mean that's their machlokas. Now, once you've passed between Rav and Shmuel, ha Rav of Rav Sheshes. Right, then you have, once you pass like Rav, or you hold like Rav, then what's the din by Rav and Rav Sheshes? Mark Haman Sevirle says, who do you hold like? So now we have a Braisa, this is additional proof that the Rashman brings, that the Loch is like Rav over here, because now we have a Braisa that's going to support the position of Rav, which is, the Tanya, Echad min achim sheyeh notein v'nosei b'toch, right, bayit, you will know to shtarot yutzim ha-shmo, v'mar shalihim sh'naflu mi-beit avi ha-ima, alav l'avi raya. Straight out, there's a brisa that says exactly like the position of Rav, which is that if a brother is acting on behalf of the estate, and now all of a sudden there are contracts in his name solely, he must bring, the burden of proof is on him. So there you go. Explicit brisa that supports the position of Rav, so that's the final stamp that the Rashman says, shows that the Gemara clearly thinks that the halacha here is like Rav. Alright, a woman who also transacts in the husband's house, and all of a sudden now there are contracts coming up. She says they're mine. They're mine from my grandfather, my paternal grandfather, my beta viima, or from my maternal grandfather. She has to bring a proof. So here it's the estate. Husband passed away, and she's transacting the estate on behalf of the Yitomim. All of a sudden, there are contracts coming out in her name solely. She says, no, they're mine. That's my property. I work both for my own property and your property. So my v'chein. So why is it v'chein? What would I have thought? Since she gets praised for working on the Yitomim's property, meaning that Beis Din entrusted her to be the apichopus, to be the guardian of the estate, and she's going out and she gets a shame tov in the community that she's taking care of the Yitomim, the Dharmi Katircha Kame Yatme Lo Gazla, therefore she wouldn't steal me Yatme Kamash Malan, that we still don't believe her. Now, the problem with this is that the Gemara in Ksubos, right, in other places says, and Tosus asks the question, says just the opposite. The Gemara in other places suggests that a woman is not believed by Yitomim, right? She has to take a shvuah to take her ksuba. Why does she have to take a shvuah to take her ksuba? Because we think that she's more a heter. She says, I'm taking care of the estate, I'm taking care of the Yitomim. She's more a heter to take money out of the estate beyond her ksuba. So over here all of a sudden we're saying, no. Oh, the havamina would be that she's believed even more here because she's terechah for the Yitomim. Over there we say that she's believed less because she's terechah for the Yitomim because she's more a heter for herself. So why is it over there in the Gemara Ksubas we say that she's more heter, and over here we say that she's actually not? So that's the Gemara. So the Rabbeinu Tam says, or the Tosfos suggests over here that is exactly the case in our situation over here. The Tirchon Kame Yatme in the Tosfos Emel Gazal Me Kashel Rashba Daba. My time a Tirchon Kame Yatme Gazal Me Yatme. Right, we have to come here, Shalech and Gitin, but I want to know that Tircha Kame Yatme Atele Rei head there. She's going to take herself. Teres Achanami Kamar Hocha. Kamash Malan, Delo Mrinan, Delo Gazla, El Adraba Atele Rei Kamar Gibigitin. That's the Kamash Mal of the Gemara. That's the answer of the Gemara. The Gemara is, yeah, you would have thought the Havamina, she would be believed because she's acting on behalf and she gets the shame toe. The Kamash Malan is, no, she's not believed that she's more head there. And that's exactly it. That's in, right, it's in consonance with the Gemara in Gitin because the conclusion of the Gemara is that we don't believe her. Why don't we believe her? Because she's more head there. And that's how they solve the stira between the two Gemaras. Right now, Gemara says, if you remember back to the Mishnah, Mishnah talked about two different types of chazakot. There's a chazakah, which is the three-year chazakah, and there's a chazakah, which is used as a kinyan, a form of kinyan. So now the Gemara says, that's a case where he's trying to establish ownership through chazakah through the 3 years instead of a shtar. But motei matana v'achim shechuku, in a situation where it's transactional, a chazakah acts differently, and it's miyad, it's right away. The Gemara says, what do you mean? That all the things in the first part of the mission don't get acquired through a chazakah? The Gemara says, no, it's a mission's missing words. The chazakah that we're talking about in the first half of the Mishnah is where you have a taina, and you want to use the chazakah in place of a shtar. So over there, those are in the first half of the Mishnah. Kagom, mocher, omer, right? No machati v'lechach omer lakachti. Right? So if he says, the mocher says, I didn't sell it, and the koyach says, I bought it. So now you want to establish who really owns it. We use the chazakah in order to establish who is the owner here. That'll make the difference between who's believed or the burden of proof is on whom. If you have a chazaka that has no taino with it, over here, where they're trying to establish ownership, not because there's an heir, because there's someone else who is claiming that they have ownership over here, but here you're trying to make a kinyan to lock in the gift, to lock in that you own the nichse ager, to establish ownership for full and fledged ownership over here. Then, what are the ways you do this? Now, gadar, paratz koshu, arichaz chazaka. How do you establish a chazaka? Right now, you locked it. Gadar, you fence it up. Paratz is you break a part of the fence. That's the establishment of a chazaka over here. Tana, Tani Rav Oshia, b'kedushim debei Levi. So that Rav Oshia learned in the kedushim, it sounds like the Tosefta, or the Brightot of Levi. Now, gadar, paratz koshu, bifanav. In front of him, harizu chazaka, that's a chazaka. So bifanav in shelo bifanav lo, that only in front of the owner. When you do such a chazaka in front of the owner, then it works. But not in front of the owner. No, amarav ha'chi kamar. No, no, that's not what it means. Bifanav lo tzarich lemeimaleich lechazek uknei. We had this gemara earlier. We've seen this in quoted in the Rishonim in other places. That when you have a owner that's standing in front of you and you're machzik in front of the owner, he doesn't have to say lechazek uknei. Go and take possession of it, because the fact that he's standing there is a clear indication that you're taking possession in front of him. But shlo bifanav, when it's not in front of him, tzarich lemeimaleich lechazek uknei. When it's not in front of him, you have to go and say specifically, go take possession of it, and then he goes and makes such a nal gadar paratz that in itself will generate the kinyan. Now, obviously, that's not true in Nixay Agir. Nixay Agir, there's nobody to tell you to go take possession. It's Hepker. Right, so this is only Bafanav, it's only true when there's a debit owner over there. Now, and that's why, the Rashbam says, that's why it's not mentioned in our Mishnah. You don't go race in our Mishnah, Lifanav, because our Mishnah has the case of Ger, and the Ger case cannot have Lifanav. In the Brice of Kedushin Bei Levi, there you could say Bifanav, because there we don't know what it was referencing. We don't have this. Right. It's not a claim of Hefker, it's a case where it's being Matana or Chilku Achim. That's where the cases are. So there you could say that it's a case of Bifanav, but there's another party involved. Now, this idea of Na'al. How do you insert ownership through Na'al? So I'm seeing Machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos and other places here. It's the Rashbam. Also, how do you affect a Na'al? So that the one possibility, Rav Psachim says by Bedika, who has obligated to do Bedika? Whoever has the key. So Mesirat Mafteach, right? The giving over of the Mafteach is the indication of who is the owner over there. Just the mafteach, having the key itself, is enough to give ownership or access to that. So the Reed disagrees, and he says that there is no kinyan with mesirat mafteach. The Reed says, no, you can't have a kinyan with mesirat mafteach, because mesirat mafteach never works. So the way the Rosh is explaining over here, the Tosfos is explaining, you have two cases. By Nichzei Ager, the only way to exert ownership is to change the lock. Why? Because there's no other owner. There's no party to give you the key. There's no party to give the key. If you lock up the door, it's Mavriach Harim Nichasav. So that doesn't work. So the only way to exert ownership is to change the lock. Whereas if it's a transaction, What's the way to get the key? The way to exert ownership is to get the key from the other owner. And we see it. What's the proof to that is by Bedika. By Bedika, the Gemara Pesachim says, who's Chayv Bedika? Whoever has the key. Mesiyat Mafteach is the determination of ownership over there. The Reed disappears and says, no way. There is no way you can establish ownership in Mesiyat Mafteach. Giving over a key is not the way to exert ownership over here. What about the case of the Gemara Pesachim? It says that's Dafka Begbir and Bedika's Chometz. Why? What is Bedikat Chametz dependent on? Bedikat Chametz is dependent on access. Whoever has access to the house is the one who could do the Bedika. It's not about ownership, it's about access. Access is why you need Bedika, and the one who could do the Bedika. So therefore, Mesir HaMateach over there is the indication of who's Chayv in Bedika, not because it's an indication of ownership, but rather because it's an indication of access. And therefore, it's not a proof. So now, based on that, the Re says that Mesir HaMateach, all Mesir HaMateach says is that you don't have to say Lech Chazek Ukne. If you have Mesir HaMateach, it prevents you. It's equivalent to being Bifanav. Once you give over the key, then you don't have to say Lech Chazek Ukne.
Or maybe it's the equivalent of saying.
Right, or it's equivalent of saying, right, saying Lech Chazek Ukne. But then you still have to, right, you still have to go ahead and do something with the door. Now, how does he explain Nilat Adelet, the locking or the closing of the door? That, he says, is a value. The Reed disagrees on that part. And he says that if you do lock the door, that is considered to be na'al. Right? So that you don't have to change the lock out, literally, but if you close it. Why isn't that considered mavriach ari minechasa? Because it's not true. Why? Because by mavriach ari, right, all you do is you're preventing like water coming on someone else's property. But over here, when you lock the door, you're preventing access to others to take possession of the ger's property. You're exerting ownership by preventing others from going and taking the hefker. You're actually exerting ownership because you're preventing them from taking possession. In that case, that is considered to be a good kinyan. And therefore, the locking of the door is enough in that instance. The locking of the door will consider an exertion of ownership, and that will be sufficient in this case to establish ownership. So that would be the difference. Your machlok is about what you need to do in order to exert ownership when it comes to na'al. Right? Do you have to change out the locks, which is one possibility, or mesirat mafteach, when there is a person to moseret, that would be one opinion. Or there is an opinion which says mesirat mafteach is nothing except eliminate the need for lechazek uknei. Bedikat chametz is an exception because of the fact that it's about access. And nilat adelet is a good form of, when you lock the door, that is a good form of exertion of ownership, because when you lock the door, preventing others from getting there is preventing others from taking possession of the property. And that's not mavriach harid, that's exertion of ownership. Alright, so we'll stop over here.